Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jim Miller.
He's moving. He's got all of extremities.
Former Bears quarterback.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Our Monday morning quarterback.
Let's go in the huddle. Let's go zero slot out. Check with me, stretch six or counter 35.
Jim Miller with Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
And this segment is brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. Jim Miller joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. We appreciate his time. Do you want to break down all seven passes at once, or you want to do it one at a time? We got time for either, Jim.
Hold on, guys. Are we out of baseball mold yet? Or mode? Have you guys converted over to football now? You ready?
Yeah, we're full on. Well, we just did 10 minutes on baseball, I'll tell you the truth. But no, it's time. It's definitely time. And we're all about Mitch and trying to figure it out. What did you think of the limitations as placed on young Mitchell Trubisky yesterday?
Well, yeah, part of it is how the game played out. I thought he had two really nice throws from the pocket. Second series of the game, it's a third and nine. He hits Miller over the middle. To me, it was great read, great throw. It's a zone coverage. He was confident in it, and he lets it rip, as you guys say. And I thought that was tremendous. But then they come back in that same series. You know, they got a first and 10. You got a Jordan Howard. He gets plus five. A second and four, Jordan Howard plus six. First and 10, Jordan Howard plus three. Second and so it, or it actually became a second and six, Jordan Howard minus one, which creates the third down situation. Okay, so it's third and seven, and he drops back, takes a sack in that situation. And honestly, if he just throws it away, or even if he had Miller open on a return route, if he just hits Miller, Miller probably gets 5 yards, easy field goal for Connor Barth. Instead, the sack that he takes ends up being a 52-yard field goal instead of what would have been a 42-yard field goal, which is right in Connor Barth's wheelhouse. So, you know, good things on that drive, and then you had the negative on that drive. But then you come back the next series right before the half, and he lets it rip to Cohen on the 70-yard completion. That's a five-step drop-back pass. He reads the coverage, want to see him throw to the pocket, and he delivers a strike, and Cohen's off to the races. Unfortunately, they couldn't finish that drive with a touchdown, but at least they finished with points. So those were two really good pocket plays where he hit guys in the pocket, and then, of course, the one negative where he took a sack where it cost the Bears points that he's going to learn from. And I'm sure Loggins and the coaches, all of them are talking to him about it right now, and he didn't sound too pleased after the game. I think he knows when he needs to get rid of the ball and when it's not an advantageous situation that he put his team in.
Yeah, I'm struggling in how, because I think the eye talent and the eye test stuff is clearly there. We've talked about it, the mobility, the arm strength, the accuracy, that sort of thing. Yeah. But when six of his eight incompletions last week are throwaways, he only throws the ball seven times this week, and he takes four sacks, so they're not even calling that many passing play calls. I got to give him a couple of incompletes recently here, Jim.
Well, yeah, I mean, even from the first series of the game, if you remember, there was a wheel route to Cohen. That was a pretty aggressive throw by Mitchell, because it's man-free coverage that we've talked about. They struggle to beat man. And those two guys just need to get on the same page. Probably Tariq Cohen's thinking, oh, he's going to lay me out, because Tariq Cohen thought he had the linebacker by a step, and he probably thought Mitchell was going to lay him out. Instead, Mitchell tries to back shoulder him, and it ends up, and Tariq almost makes a fantastic catch. He gets 1 foot in, and he does catch the football, but he couldn't get two in. So that's something that he's going to clear up. But that's a pretty aggressive throw in a third down situation. And you know, Mitchell, that's something he's going to learn. Just learn the guys that are around him of what they can and cannot do. And certainly Cohen could do a lot of things with his play.
If he's trying to go back shoulder, as you say, that's a perfectly thrown back shoulder, by the way, right there, isn't it?
It was a nice pass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably it's the only spot to me he could have put it.
Yeah, and he did, and there was another ball a little bit later. I think Gentry, you know, one of the Gentry only have one catch, but the one that he caught was right on the hands. You know, so yeah. Like I'm looking for the signs of the ball placement and the signs of the accuracy that we have been wanting to see.
Oh, the accuracy's there. I mean, there were two drops yesterday. There was Cohen on a flat route. He dropped, which it was a 1st and 10 call. So they come out instead of being predictable and always run on first down. They say, all right, let's get an easy completion. Cohen's the third number receiver inside. He goes right to the flat. The other two outside receivers clear it out. He's wide open. Boom, hits him right in the hands, drop. So that's still an issue with the drops. And then you mentioned the other one by Gentry. So he, you know, he, I know it's only 7 passes, but he realistically could have been 6 out of 7, you know.
you're right. It's just funny to me. Like it's weird. It's weird to win back-to-back NFL games with only 12 total completions.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of how the game played out because, you know, I said they get the field goal right before the half. They come out and then they, you know, they just start to get in their run mode is really what it was. You know, is my take on it. And then they really didn't see the ball again until they only had 2 series in the third quarter. And those were just basically run punts. The one was a scramble because the protection broke down. And then the other one was a short pass that was short of the first down that he completed, and they punted. Then it became the fourth down. So now they're just like, all right, clock's the enemy for Carolina now. So then they shifted to all out, let's just run the football. And they tried it the first 2 series in the fourth quarter. And then the fifth series in the second half, but in the fourth quarter, that whole series was a complete debacle. Okay. Cause you had basically on that, you had the false start by Massey. What else happened on that? He hits Miller on a 2nd and 15. Then they get the delay of game, which creates a 3rd and 15. So basically in the second half, they had 2 really 3rd and long situations where they just killed themselves just by how the drive started. Those are things that need to get better. And then on that 3rd and 15, he took a sack where Gentry was wide open. So there was probably about, I'd say out of the 4 sacks, 3 of them were on Mitchell that he can get better at. And one of them cost him points.
See, now, and that's interesting because you are not alone in that thought that he accepted the sacks and some of those were on him. And some folks don't understand what you're talking about. You mentioned Gentry was open on the one before the Barth 52-yard field goal. Miller was open and he didn't throw the ball. Olin Krutz this morning, Jim, said that he saw 2 hands on the ball, his shoulders lower sometimes, his eyes not looking down the field as if he was like that aggressiveness to make a play was not there. I worry long term. I mean, it's very early, obviously,
right. But
at a certain point, I don't want to see that kind of aggressiveness being coached out of him. I don't want to see him scared in the pocket. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the one, say, sack, what was it, 1st series of the fourth quarter. They're in there. To me, that's when he was looking at the pass rush. They run a nickel blitz is all it was. He was picked up, and if he has confidence in the protection, there was a man open on that. The underneath route was open, and that's one to Gentry you're probably talking about on that one, and he ends up taking a sack on that one where he's just got to be confident. Hey, trust those guys up front to do their job. And they've got to trust you to do your job, you know, because it evens out with the trust level. They're trusting him not to take a sack and deliver a football and get rid of the ball when it needs to be gotten rid of. And then, of course, he's trusting them to give him the protection he needs. And so hopefully they'll develop that chemistry and that confidence and that trust in one another. And for him, a lot of it is, are they bringing the nickel blitz? You know, he's got to understand everything that he's seeing. There's a lot going on in his head. I completely understand where he's coming from. And, of course, his athleticism has bailed him out of a lot of things. But now's the higher learning part of football that if he gets it down, he can be really good. And there's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, from Ryan Pace and everybody in that organization, there's a lot to be excited about with him. It's going to take some time, and you got to bring him along the right way.
If he's trying to be super careful and do the right thing and having the aggressiveness taken away, can that come back as the knowledge increases? Can that come back?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. You know, I think like anything else with young quarterbacks, get them some early completions, you know, run the football, protect them with a good defense. Like we always say, it's the best thing to help out young quarterbacks. And then as the game goes on, you start to expand things more, especially if you get some early completions. I think after he hit that post route, I think he was feeling pretty good. I really do. But then they come out, and the game, just the way it went, they really couldn't get as aggressive or do the things that they wanted. And some of it was just, again, the penalties, the situations that they don't give themselves a shot. You know, especially if the Bears come out on first down and they get a negative run, that is not a good thing. Most offensive coordinators, once you get a negative run, they're already thinking, let's throw the football. It's now second and 15 or whatever it is, or whatever the loss is, and they're already thinking pass. Bears aren't so much like that. They're content with, hey, we can still run the football again. Let's not put them in a disadvantageous situation where it creates just a ridiculously third and long situation for them, or the whole offense in general.
Jim Miller with us on the Score. This is probably a fan talk show host point that is completely unreasonable, but I'll ask you about it anyway. Is it completely unreasonable to sometimes dream that they will sacrifice like the in-the-moment play call or scenario that gives them the best chance to win that game for the long-term development of the quarterback who's the franchise?
Well, I think you owe it. I mean, right now the whole NFL is pretty much mediocrity, and I think those decisions really come to pass when you're out of playoff contention. I really believe that. Again, I don't want to talk in hindsight. The Bears could have another win if they just catch a football against Atlanta. There's, you know, the Bears aren't the only team out there struggling with offense. I think we saw some other teams get shut out this past weekend, where other parts of their team, they're trying to managing it to get themselves at least in a position to have an opportunity to compete in the dance. Now, I'm not going to say that's what the Bears are, you know, what their ultimate goal isn't, and it will decide itself with how they play. But, you know, John Fox, all the coaches, Ryan Pace, they owe everybody in that building an opportunity each and every week until that opportunity is eliminated. And that's the goal, is to make the playoffs and win every single game you think you're capable of winning. Now, when you say the playoff scenarios are out of question, now you're starting to think, all right, hey, let's start to get this player more work. Let's start to take more looks at this player that we have high hopes for that maybe hasn't gotten an opportunity up to this point of the season. Then all those decisions will be made about, you know, really, you know, the future of where things are really going to go. But right now it's winning mode, and the Bears are in the thick of it. They really are, in terms of the win and loss record.
Do you think the coaching staff is in place that will ultimately be charged with developing Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I think it'll decide itself as the year progresses, you know, with how things unfold, how positions start to improve, how the offensive play starts to improve. I think clearly you see the defense is ahead of the offense right now. There's already been a change at the quarterback position. There's been a lot of variables surrounding the wide receiver position. But, you know, I think the Bears have been pretty open about, hey, we need to see progress here. We need to see progress, and that the team is improving, and I would say to date. It's already been established. Now, how far can it go? How far can it go? And then ultimately that will be evaluated.
I hope there's a certain point, if they do fall out of contention, and it's not like I'm hoping for them to fall out of contention, but if they do, I hope there will be a point that Danny's question about opening it up for the betterment of giving your quarterback an opportunity, that it makes sense to do that. Have you been on teams where that happened, where you guys all of a sudden, the coaches talked about, all right, it's a different kind of thing, now let's try and develop X or Y?
Sure. I've been on teams like that, and that decision has been made during the season. Absolutely. And you see the shift, and you know, they still maintain positive. Hey, we're trying to win, but we're going to give some other guys some opportunities. And there are a lot of guys that don't like it in the building. But, you know, ultimately you're trying to build for the future, because I'm not going to say you're cashing in on that season, but you're trying to build already the foundation for the following season. So, you know, that has happened, and it, you know, it'll continue to happen in the NFL. But I think that decision isn't made until you know your season's won or lost, where you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs when those decisions are made.
Jim, I know you have the long drive back after postgame on Comcast, but I don't know how much you saw of Matt Ryan last night. What the hell is going on with that team and that quarterback right now?
Yeah, I made it home to see the second half, and I listened to it on the way home. Yeah, they're struggling right now. You know, and I just think, again, sometimes – I don't know. Sometimes I think offenses try to get too cute. You know, you can see the Patriots. Just look at the Patriots. Like, when they had to run the football, they did it with Lewis or Gillislee or whatever. To me, the best offenses in the NFL are the ones that are multiple, where when you want to run your four-minute offense, you can do it. When you want to go empty, you can do it. When you want to go no huddle, high tempo, you can do it. When you want to go two tight ends, you can do it. When you want to go three wide outs or four wides, They can do it. The Patriots can do it any way they want to do it. And they can, you know, it used to be you'd go in a game and do that to say, hey, we're going to do a lot of no huddle. They can do it now series to series where they can instantly morph into ever whoever they want to be. And they do it seamlessly. And it takes, certainly it takes a quarterback that can handle it. You got to have the guys on the roster that are capable of doing it, all those positions. And that their library, think about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They've been together so long, it's just like they go into their own library and say, this game calls for this. Let's pull this book. Then they go to the next week and say, this game calls for this. Let's pull this book.
And the Bears' game plan was a pamphlet. I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's a two-page pamphlet.
He targeted three total human beings.
but it's like, you know, but here's the point now. Where can it grow and where can it morph to?
Because
even as this season goes on, Mitchell from week to week is going to be capable of handling more. He's going to be able to handle. Now, that's up to the Bears coaches how much he can handle and say, hey, we're going to do this week. We're going no huddle. Say in this certain situation, they've already done a little bit in Baltimore. Can they expand that more? Can they do more from that? And certainly they're limited with certain positions, but I'd like to see, you know, them do more with the tight ends. They still got more that they can do with their wildcat and trick plays, certainly that. And then how much Mitchell progresses from passing from within the pocket. He had two really good pocket throws in this game. Probably could have had four with the two drops that I mentioned. But, you know, it's going to get better and better and better and grow from here. It's got to start somewhere. And so far, it's off to a good start. Bottom line is to create a culture of winning. And they've won back-to-back games. Where can it go when those guys start believing in themselves and fighting for one another? And we'll see where it goes.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. I was picturing Danny yesterday. It's like, you know, maybe it's like a digital folder of plays that they have where it used to be like a giant playbook. Now it's a digital folder. Like, okay, we have a lead. Let's remove this 40%. Okay, now we have a 14-point lead. Let's remove this 40%. And we're down to like, remove everything that might be remotely dangerous in the playbook.
Tariq Cohn, Zach Miller, Tanner Gentry, the only three human beings targeted. Back-to-back weeks were Tanner Gentry the only wide receiver target.
How many non-human beings were targeted? How many
some
giraffes?
Blades of grass, some sideline personnel men, and the throwaways. Yeah, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch the Bears offense.
It's like they tore. If there was a playbook, they tore 40 pages out of it.
Yeah,
said, all right, just use these pages.
Culture of damn winning. segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. In just over 20 minutes, we have the voicemails, and a challenge speaks.
Yeah.
Has just been issued to this show.
I saw it.
By Lynn Bramer.
I responded for you.
Did you?
I did.
I will respond on the air next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Spiegel and Parkins on the score. 15 minutes until your voicemails. Brought to you by the private bank, now CIBC. The private bank is now CIBC. Their name may have changed, but their commitment to your business is now stronger than ever. Visit CIBC.com/us. Member FDIC. Lynn Bramer, big time deal. He's a huge deal in this town.
Morning show guy on XRT. Dear friend. Wonderful musicologist, terrific writer. His Lynn's bins are fabulous. And a bon vivant out and about around town. I see him at musical events all the time. He parties, dances, and enjoys live music like nobody else.
He tweets me, "Dear at Danny Parkins, I'll make you a deal. I'll stop dancing in public if you stop singing." Here's my response. The let him throw movement is just about to catch on. Don't let seven pass attempts fool you, buddy.
Hey, everybody, enjoy Sharon before Danny comes in.
I love you, Sharon.
The new quarterback very seldom drops back. Not a deep ball to be seen. A game plan of runs and short throws. The coach thinks he's too green. The fans are crying for the handcuffs to come off. Look around the league, even Jared Goff. Don't rein Mitch in, don't keep Mitch down. He could be
superstar in town. Trubisky's good, he might be great. Don't make us
wait. For you,
Lynn.
Let him throw, let him throw. Can't hold him back anymore. Let him throw, let him throw. That's what he was drafted for. We don't care what John Fox might say. Let him pass down fields. The Bears aren't gonna win anyway.
As a quarterback, you want to be throwing the ball, but as a competitor and a leader of this team, you're going to do whatever it takes to win.
It's time to see what Mitch can do, even with no wideouts to throw to. Hit Deion Sims or Trey McBride. Let it ride.
Let him throw, let him throw. And he'll learn while he entertains. Let him throw, let him throw. We'll see some yardage gains. We don't care what the coaches say. Let him throw the damn ball. The Bears aren't gonna win anyway.
I mean, talk about nailing the moment. That is the story of the moment. Let him throw.
What do we do if they keep winning, though? Because the theme remains the same. It is the let him throw movement, and this right. week continues the let him throw necessities.
Hashtag let him throw, hashtag time.
Ah!
Hashtag yeah.
Yeah!
Hashtag voice of an angel.
Thank you.
But like John Fox won't get fired anyway or something.
Right, right.
But...
they're winning in spite of holding back their quarterback anyway.
Something like that. Yeah,
that probably doesn't work.
No, too many syllables. Yeah, doesn't really syllabilize, but hell. As long as your passion is there. Nothing has ever stopped you before. Nothing.
Let him throw a soundcloud.com/Spiegel Parkins.
Scoreboard update.
I used to enjoy singing that song with my daughter. Ruin that, Danny Parkins.
You're welcome.
We don't care.
We don't care. We
don't care. Take that, Bramer.
The texts are always entertaining.
They're always so good. People who hear it for the first time, people who come in the middle, NIU Dave who doesn't know what song we're parroting.
It helps when you can recognize the song. What the hell is this a parody of? Yeah, Dave, you don't have a daughter. It's, yeah. It's Let It Go from Frozen. this one, I didn't hear that. I felt it. You feel good art. Yeah. Parkins, I hate that you ruined that song. You ruined the original song, and now you've ruined this. Well, I mean...
oh, God.
It was there. I love this one. Danny, why does it seem like you're crying when singing? Oh, wait, that's just me
crying.
That's
you, yeah. See, I can see why you would be confused about that.
This guy tore the radio out of his car.
Oh, God. That's amazing.
Just take it.
You're going to have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to deal with it.
That's side two, track one of the Mitch album. But, you know, here's Guy. I promise.
But, you know.
I promise to promote Guagi if Parkins stops singing. That's Kevin and Roscoe. Interesting.
No deal.
Interesting.
No deal.
I'm wearing the Guagi shirt today. Guagi getting tweeted at me last night when Julio Jones finally gets a touchdown, goes up above Malcolm Butler.
That play is one of those where you're like, sometimes it just feels like, why don't you just throw the ball up to Julio Jones?
All the time.
Oh, yeah, that would work. Yes, yeah. Bramer is over there gloating. So you're dancing versus my scene. If you ever want to dance to my songs, Lynn, that would be totally fine. He's in the other room. Your friend over there speaks. Look, he's put it on the headset.
Yeah,
and you're welcome, Lynn.
This doesn't have you don't have an understanding, Lynn. I thought you understood music. I thought you got music.
Well, a couple of things here. Are you guys actually on the air? Are you just talking to each other?
No, we're on
I never
air.
Know.
Okay, you're actually doing a show.
Same difference.
Well, I want to apologize because I listened to it. And of course, Sharon has this wonderful trained voice and you're
yes.
completely invested in her voice. And then Danny starts singing and you say to yourself, not only is that bad singing, but it's bad singing that can't be taught. If you were to find somebody and say, what we need is somebody to sing just kind of off key, just perfectly off key.
Yeah, off time.
Off time, just through the whole thing. You couldn't do it. If you asked Matt Spiegel to sing badly, that badly, he couldn't do it.
This is why, Lynn. This is why it is its own version of outsider music. This is like Daniel Johnston or Wesley Willis. This is its own unique, mentally incapacitated version of music.
I have got to reassess the majesty of the Shags.
It's what I'm saying.
Who are one of the most famous outlier
outsiders.
A group of sisters that couldn't sing or play instruments. And they are beloved by some of the greatest musicians in the world.
Danny would have been a hell of a shag. Would have been a great shag.
Danny, you would have been a great shag. And I'm sure a lot of people have said that over the years to you.
Yeah. One or maybe two. All I heard in that entire thing that you guys talked about was
mentally incapacitated.
Danny is a natural. Oh, like that's all I got out of all of that. That it just comes naturally to me, Lynn.
This is the
gift.
You're welcome.
No, there is an art to singing so perfectly, just a little bit off through the whole thing, because you can't have somebody, if you direct somebody to sing like that, they can't do it.
That's what I'm saying. It comes naturally
can't
to me.
Okay.
You're a natural.
Thank you.
This texture, Lynn.
Do you ever need me on your show, by the way, to sing anything? If you need an open,
no,
jingle?
What you do, you come in my show and you dance.
Okay.
That's the trade-off. I'm a bad dancer. You're a bad singer.
Gotcha. I think Danny is inventing new intervals and modalities previously unutilized by humans. Len, that's what it is. Your ears are not yet adjusting. He's like the Tuvan throat singers of sports parodies.
Now you're speaking in terms that indicates to me that it's only a matter of time before it's a $50 ticket to see Danny Parkins live at the Rockefeller Chapter at the University of Chicago.
That's what I'm saying. You guys have all this secondary income, big media guys in Chicago.
Dude,
I want my gigs.
People are going to intellectualize this brilliance very, very soon. Move it into another category.
Danny, 10% of gross. That's all I'm asking. That means 90% is yours. Of course, there's, you know, we subtract something for promotion.
Sure.
Of the dinners with some of the important people in town.
Uh-huh.
We'll subtract some of that. But basically, 10% is all I'm asking.
No problem. Hey, deal. On the air. That's Lynn Bramer from WXRT, everyone. Your voicemails before Big Cat. Next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let him throw the damn ball!
Oh, we want more throws from Mitch Trubisky, but we like the wins, and we love how the defense is playing. It's all very confusing as a Bears fan in 2017.
It really is. QC Brad's Will to Live has texted, your parody song has me rapidly fading away. That's from Quad City Brad's.
I'm sorry, Brad.
That's a little dark.
A little bit on the dark side. But yeah, that was a weird game to experience. I can only imagine what the voicemails are as you watched it and you're like, oh my God, it's Eddie Jackson. Oh my God, it's Eddie Jackson again. And hey, Mitch threw the ball to Tariq Cohen. Which 70-yard play was your favorite? And then nothing.
Right. I sometimes, NFL.com, they got a good video page. It's kind of like MLB.com's where you can go back and they got so many highlights and they got extended stuff and a package and all that. So I sometimes like to watch it Monday morning because I don't have time to watch the Bears game over before Monday's show. I try to watch the condensed version usually before we're on the air on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And often they'll do like last week they had, you know, Mitch Trubisky's five best throws. And he only had eight completions. They didn't have that feature on this week's, you know, because there were four completions. Like, you could not do a five best throw feature. Because I was even impressed that they had the five best throw feature when he had eight completions. And it was like, you know, swing pass to Zach Miller. But like, oh, you hit him in stride. It was nice.
I heard
they don't even have it this
week. I heard Brad Biggs on the morning show say that, you know, they get a list as part of the game stats sheet of the top 10 gaining Bears plays. They get that list.
Right.
And today, the last three were each 5-yard runs by Jordan Howard. He's never seen that before. Where it's like 70, 9, 8, 7, 5, 5, 5, or whatever.
It was a weird, weird game. Like, you don't normally only target three different players. You don't normally win two games in a row completing 12 total passes. It's just a weird box score week. And 2 weeks, really, for the Bears. So, yes, the voicemail number is 312-729-3965. I'd imagine I haven't listened to these. We never hear them. We always hear them on the air. Jay is the only one tasked with listening to all of them. I'd imagine a calmer week on the voicemails.
You'd think, but then maybe some anger towards the conservative nature of both game plan and John Fox.
Maybe we should just play them.
Logic boy.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line.
Brian in Oswego, Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson. Whoa.
14-0. Eddie Jackson leading the Panthers.
Chemo in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Bears going to the Super Bowl.
Super Bears, Super Bowl. Super Bears, Super Bowl.
This is Bro from Chicago. John Fox has smelly farts.
Been in these underwear for a long time now.
Joe from Bolingbrook. I don't get it. What's real anymore? I mean, it's like a different football game, team. It's not real anymore. I don't even know what I'm watching. They suck one day, they're good the next day.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
That's what he was drafted for. John Fox might say, let him pass down fields. The Bears aren't gonna win anyway.
Mike from Chicago, Dow Loggins, just doesn't get it. He stinks.
He just a little guy.
Yeah, this is Johnny Southside. Jay Cutler is injured.
Let's tone it down a little bit.
I just don't understand how playing Trubisky with no weapon and no line is advancing his development. Wake me up when Glennon is in. That's getting us closer to a championship.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. May God have mercy on your soul.
Talking from Peoria. Cam Newton kissed that game away as good as Mitch Trubisky kisses.
You old sailor, you.
End of mailbox.
Wow. I didn't expect the Glennon call to come in.
We had a Glennon guy. That was an actual Glennon guy.
Wow.
You do exist.
He's just trying to get into voicemail.
Probably.
Like, what can I say to guarantee I'm played on the air?
And mission accomplished.
The snippet of song that was somebody playing it into the voicemail.
The entire song of Let It Go is on the phone. Actually, probably the chorus and verse. But I was not going to leave the whole thing on there. And I had to put Danny in there. Come on.
I'm enjoying your edits.
Play it again.
I'm enjoying the Jay Zawoski edits.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, as if it doesn't take long enough, I have to add some drops in now, too.
Hey, it's your own choosing, my friend.
Well, I know, but I did it once, and now I have to do it every time.
Well, that last bit there, it's from Billy Madison, right?
Yeah, may God award you no points. Yeah,
you are awarded no points.
And may God have mercy.
That is one of the greatest little moments that you could ever use as a radio drop. Just that, that 15 seconds of
what
you've just said.
Yeah.
At no point did you make
your incoherent, rambling response. Did you have anything even close to resembling a coherent thought? I award you no points, and may God have mercy on yourself. Yeah, people in radio have seen that movie a few times.
It just destroys me.
It's good. It's good.
We had a texter who's not necessarily a Glennon guy, but here's the text. How can you guys think so highly of Trubisky? His play has been below average at best. He needs to avoid those sacks, starting to resemble Glennon. He does not look like a number two pick to me. We whiffed on Watson and gave away draft picks we needed. Fangio is the guy we should be talking about, not Trubisky. What happens when the defense can't score? Says a texter. Well, they probably lose the game if they keep this game plan.
Yeah, I mean,
we believe that the game plan and in general, Trubisky's greenness, which was more vast than Watson, is keeping you from seeing what kind of quarterback this guy is going to be.
And his lack of experience, the lack of skill position talent around him, the fact that John Fox needs to win now, and right. that the Bears, they are good at running the football in theory, and they are good defensively in theory. So that, if you play to your team's strengths to try to win in the short term, that lends itself to not putting much onus on the quarterback to win. And look around the rest of the NFL. It's not like a lot of teams are just airing it out and throwing the ball deep downfield. It's lots of short, conservative passes and trying to make the fewest mistakes in order to win. So it's not exactly specific to only the Bears. The question is it worth it to maybe win an extra game or two or three this year, still ultimately miss the playoffs, or should you be dropping this guy back to pass and figuring out more of what he can do at the expense of short-term winning, but hopefully for long-term development, so that when you do have two new wide receivers next year, that he's further along in his development.
Right. Like,
that's one of the many debates.
And that's why we asked Miller, and I certainly am hoping there'll be a certain point where they're like, okay, now let's try to work on the quarterback and use our year for this. You know, we had a texter earlier who said, Trubisky reminds me of Russell Wilson's rookie year, coached like a game manager, but given the ball in the fourth and overtime when needed to win a game. Look, Russell Wilson now throws a lot, had 300 and a couple of touchdowns yesterday. I'm looking at Russell Wilson's rookie season, pass attempts, 34 in his first game. 34, 20, 21, 25, 25, 27, 23, 35, 24. So I agree that it felt like he was not really given a chance to do too much in that rookie year, but they let him throw the ball at least 25 times over and over and over again.
Certainly more than Mitch has been asked to do. But your stat about John Fox from earlier is insane. The number of players who have played an NFL game with 10 or fewer pass attempts and won.
There have been seven NFL games since 2000 in which a team won while having fewer than 10 pass attempts. Seven games. And three of those games were won by John Fox teams.
That's crazy.
This one, a Tim Tebow Denver team, and a Chris Wenke Carolina team. So he is treating Mitch Trubisky as if he is Chris Wenke and or Tim Tebow. Young quarterbacks expected to get better eventually, but Mitch Trubisky better be a hell of a lot better than those guys.
Shout out to the 10 or so texters who made the joke that the Glennon guy on the voicemail was actually Jim Miller in disguise. I'm mad that I didn't come up with it. We got Big Cat at noon. We're back well before that, though. 6,855, a significant number as it related to the Bears game. We'll tell you how next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
5 minutes, James Big Cat Williams will join the show. We will discuss the Bears defense and just how good this team can be, riding the defense, the sustainability of this type of game plan.
Check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com, brought to you by Marvel Universe Live at Allstate Arena, November 2nd through the 5th. MarvelUniverseLive.com. Was watching the game in Syracuse, New York, as I was visiting some family over the weekend.
Always mentioning Syracuse, this guy.
Yeah, right? A dinosaur barbecue in Syracuse.
Oh, it's great.
It was really, really good.
It's fantastic.
There was one here for a little while. They tried to do it here.
I know, it didn't work. Wasn't as good as the original.
Is that true?
It is true.
I don't know. This was really phenomenal. But anyway, the Bears-Panthers was the local game. So I didn't even have to go out and find a sports bar yesterday. Bears-Panthers was the local game in Syracuse, New York, because the bird and the beard are, they're so big.
They're huge. Iron Eagle, Syracuse guy.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. And a number two broadcast team. So, but as they're starting that game, I'm like, there are a lot of empty seats there at Soldier Field.
6,855 no shows.
Seemed like a beautiful day.
It got drizzly and rainy and that was in the forecast. It was overcast by the time the game was starting. So I don't know if I would go as far as to say beautiful, and it definitely did rain yesterday. But so whether I would say had something to do with it, but there have been 5,000 plus no shows every game this year, and obviously all the no shows last year was a huge storyline.
I thought with Mitch being inserted and winning a game and the Mitchell excitement that you'd have fewer of those. I certainly did.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming yet. You've got to win. Even in a small stadium, tickets are so expensive. Soldier Field is so inconvenient. The NFL product is so much better consumed on television than in person. I think you've got, in this day and age, 2017, with how we consume media, I think you have to be a really good team to continue to buck that sort of trend, to reverse what it was. Because obviously Bears fans are out there. Obviously there's more than enough to fill that stadium. But at that price, with what they've given you for this long, you're gonna need to see some wins, I think, before you start to see some sellouts.
I hope it was loud and hopping in there.
It had its moments
when the Eddie Jackson touchdowns were going.
It had its moments
because, I mean, You haven't seen that kind of thing since, you know, days of Nathan Vasher and Mike Brown and such to get some defensive touchdowns like that.
But I would think we're still going to see multiple thousand no-shows for the Packers game even, especially with no Aaron Rodgers. Like, that game won't have the juice that it normally does. So, and them not being in first place, I would think we'll have thousands of no-shows every game the rest of the season, would be my guess. We'll get an update from Julie and then James Big Cat Williams on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.